So today, and I've been reflecting over the last couple of days of how, you know, the disciples and the followers at that time thought they were coming to praise Jesus as the conquering king. But if he'd been the conquering king, I guess he would have come in on a war horse rather than a humble donkey. So, thank the Lord, we can celebrate retrospectively, so we can sing hosannas knowing that it's all been done and that Jesus has been to the cross. And they didn't understand that at the time, but he's been to the cross, and we've had the resurrection, we've had forgiveness, and we live as free people because of that. So we're going to start with, and this is one Richard and I didn't know, so you might need to help us, for children of Jerusalem. Hands up. Yeah, Jean does, and you should. But we're relying on you, Jean. No pressure. So, children of Jerusalem.
Hosanna, Hosanna, Now we come to prayer. We know that God is always ready to hear our prayers. We know also that He will answer those prayers in accordance with His will. And we've got a lot to thank God for. But before we do, I just want to say that one of the great prayers that we as a fellowship prayed and got the answer was to do with Dennis and Chris. A long, long time ago, Dennis said, "Oh, what do I do? What do I pray?" You know, the Lord doesn't worry about the words we use. He knows what's in the heart. And the doctors at Exeter had said Chris could not survive what he was going through, that he only had so long to live. But God answered that prayer, and he's sitting there today, years later. Welcome welcome to Dennis and to Chris, and take our love, please, to Joan and Sarah. And now let us come to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we come this morning to praise You. We look back and we see that You had a wonderful time here on earth. You were a wonderful example. But You also had a time of sorrow. Not the easiest of times. And yet, You went forward to accomplish all that God the Father had sent You for. And we want to thank You for that. We want to thank You that You gave Your all on our behalf. We thank You, Lord, for the way that You uphold us, for the way that You answer prayers, for the way that You forgive us. Oh, Lord, You are so good. You are so wonderful. And yet we know that there must be much going on in this world that causes You to weep. Oh Lord, when we think of war, when we think of the killings that are going on, and all those things that are evil, we know, Lord, that this is entirely against Your will. And we pray, Lord, that the time will come when people will learn how to live in love, how to live peaceful and happy lives. Lord, we pray for leaders of nations, how they need your wisdom, Lord, how they need your guidance. And we pray, Lord, for all people. We pray, Lord, for those who love you and know you. Lord, help us that we might share that love with others. But Lord, we pray for the people that don't know you. And we ask, Lord, that by the witness of believers, many might come to believe in you, Lord, and to follow your way of life. We pray for the sick. We pray for the dying. We pray for the homeless. We pray for the housebound. We pray, Lord, for those living in poverty. We pray for those who are lonely. We pray for those who cannot find real work. Oh, Lord, there are so many needs around us. And we thank you that you are a God who hears our prayers. And we thank you that through your people, you help to relieve people of their needs. So, Lord, we pray that as we bow our heads before you now, that we might know your presence in a very special way. Lord, we know you're with us now, and we pray that as we go our different ways later, we thank you, Lord, that we have the assurance that you go with us. In fact, Lord, the truth is you'll never leave us. And we thank you for that promise. So, Lord, as we continue to worship this morning, we ask that you would draw close now to each one of us. And we ask that you'd be with our family and friends. Be with those for whom we have special prayers. You know us, and you know those people that are on our hearts at this time. And so, Lord, we bring them all to you and ask that you would be all that we need in our lives. Lord, you are the giver of life, and we rejoice in knowing you, and we claim your promise to be with us at all times. Lord, hear our prayer, which we ask in the very precious name of Jesus, our Saviour. Amen.
Continuing with Palm Sunday, just looking at verse 2 of ride on in majesty, in lowly pomp, ride on to die. O Christ, your triumph now begin. O captive death and conquer sin. Amen. So we'll sing ride on in majesty.
Majesty, all the tribes, hosanna, cry.
coming to two readings. Only one of those readings is in your service sheet, and that is the one that tells us what happened on Palm Sunday, and that's going to be read by Deborah, and that's going to be followed by another reading which Sarah is going to bring to us, and that reminds us of God's promise that he will never leave us. Thank you, Deborah.
So the first reading today is from Luke 19, verse 28 to 42. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you're untying it, say, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it, just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' 'I tell you,' he replied, 'if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.' As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, 'If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes.'"
Thank you. And the reading now, which comes from a few verses in Romans 8, over to Sarah.
Yeah, reading 2 is from Romans 8, verses 31 and 35 to 39. "If God is for us, who can be against us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, 'For your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered.' No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord."
Thank you very much. Thank you, Sarah. Thank you, Deborah. We'll look at that later.
So following that last reading, we're going to sing, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end."
You, every morning, you, every
want first this morning to say just a few words about Jesus and his journey to Jerusalem. As we've already heard, it wasn't a journey that people really understood. Those people that were crying, Hosanna, they thought Jesus was going to be heralded as something important. We know, do we not, that he was facing death. He was going to the cross. And we need to remind ourselves of the fact that although people were shouting and praising him, he knew what was to come. He had obeyed his Father and was ready to go to the cross to be crucified and to die for our sins. What a wonderful sacrifice Jesus made. And the wonderful thing I want you to notice is that as he saw Jerusalem, and as he saw the state of the people, he wept. And I wonder, folks, we're celebrating Palm Sunday. Has Jesus wept for us? Does he still weep for us? I'm sure he does. You see, the truth is Jesus loves us. And when things go wrong, of course he's going to weep for us. When we find times hard, he's there for us. And it brings us to the message of today, doesn't it? That he will never leave us. The message says, nothing can separate us from God's love. So although he went to the cross, and we will be thinking more about that when we meet here on Friday. But let's look at his journey now. God's work, I don't know whether you realize, but it started in eternity. According to 2 Timothy 1 verse 9, God's work in our lives started in eternity when he determined by his grace to redeem us to himself. He has saved us and he has called us to a holy life. And let's be honest, that's not because of anything that we have done, but it's because of his own purpose and grace. The grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. God's work continued on in time, as we know, as he sent his Son, the sinless Lord Jesus Christ, to die for sinners, which includes you and me. And then on one day, on the day when we placed our trust in Jesus, that's when salvation took its root and God began his good work in us. So God's work started in eternity, and God's work will, yes, it will be completed. When God starts a project, he will complete it. God has given us this promise in Philippians 1 verse 6. He who began a good work in you will carry it on into completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Yes, God has promised that he will help each person who embraces his Son as Savior. And he has promised that he will help us to grow in his grace until that is completed. In other words, Nothing can separate us from God and his promise to keep us secure until we actually enter heaven. You know, from time to time, we experience the new birth of salvation. God has been at work in us, and he'll continue to carry on his work until we see our Lord one day face to face. So no matter what happens along the way, God's work in us, my friends, cannot be stopped. And the next one, God's work is secure. We know it's secure because, as we saw last week, he is sovereign. Now, this term is used to speak of a king or ruler who has complete power. And that is an accurate description of God. Because, let's be honest, no one has more power than God. He alone created and maintains this universe. Nothing has happened, can happen, or will happen that could overrule his power. People like Putin need to know that, don't they? Sorry. The Apostle Paul described how secure we are in God's love when he wrote this, and we've heard it. I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor the future, or any powers, neither height nor depth, or anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We heard that in the second reading, and we can be confident that God's power and love are strong enough to keep us spiritually secure right to the end. And next one, God's work is internal. You see, what do we mean by that? Well, God works in our lives. His work did not stop at salvation. No, that was just the beginning. God has given us his Holy Spirit to work in us. John 14, verses 16 and 17. Jesus said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. We know it, don't we? The Holy Spirit lives with us and will be in us. I wonder, can you imagine the Holy Spirit comes to live in us when we accept Jesus as our Saviour? And Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will be with you forever. You see, God has given us an advocate, a helper, a resident tutor, if you like, to enable us to be more like Jesus every day and to guide us also into the truth. So as long as we are alive, the Holy Spirit will continue his work in us and never leave us. So what does this all mean for us? Do we have a high view of God? The Bible says he is in control of all things, and that includes our salvation. Jesus sacrificed himself to save us, and now Jesus lives with the Father to intercede for us. He prays for us, and his concern will carry on until one day when we meet Jesus face to face in heaven. That's the finish line. God will ensure that we cross that finish line complete and perfect in him. So, All of this means we can live our lives, we should be able to, without any doubt or fear. Because, my friends, nothing and no one can separate us from God's love and from the completion of his work that he has started in us. So, with that in mind, here is what God asks of us. A, be encouraged. Yeah, God's saying be encouraged. Take heart that God is not finished with us. We are a work in progress. We are an unfinished project. We have room for growth. Whatever obstacle or failure or speed bump comes our way, know that God uses those challenges to perfect and complete what he has begun in us. You see, God is working for our good and for his glory. So he says, be encouraged. He also says, be growing spiritually. We are to grow spiritually. How? Well, here's the short list. Confess our sins, obey God's word, walk by the Spirit, grow in the grace and knowledge, enlist the help of others, worship with God's people, evaluate our progress, and give thanks always. So be encouraged, grow spiritually, and the last one, be confident. You know, sometimes we lose our confidence. But be confident. Why? Because God has promised that we are secure in him. We can be confident that our eternal destiny is absolutely certain. Because God, who loves us unconditionally, does not leave anything to chance. He will ensure that what he has started in our lives will be completed. So all this is what happens when we come. We accept Jesus as our Saviour. And although we might make many mistakes after that, he will not fail us. And so I just want to read to you a verse or two verses in the book of Jude. Here it comes. To him who is able to keep us from stumbling and to present us before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Saviour, to him be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.
Message was going to be nothing to separate us from the love of God. This song immediately sprung to mind, and I hope most of you know it. It was written in the late 80s, so it's been around a while. It's not a new song, but it just fits in so well with what Bruce was going to bring this morning. And then we'll go from that one back to Palm Sunday. We'll sing Make Way, Christ the King in Splendor Arrives.
Separate us from the love of God.
Notice what it says at the end of the service sheet about the food bank, our parcels on the third Sunday each month go to Riviera Life, and Jordan, the leader, has said how much they do and how important it is, and so we receive their thanks. and we know that it is providing a good blessing. Now also, folks, we're going to meet on Friday, and that means 9:30, it means another early hour, but on Sunday the clocks go forward. So on Easter Sunday we will have an extra hour of sleep, although we're starting at 9:30.
It's the other way
round.
We lose an hour.
Oh, do we?
Oh, yeah. Bruce, can I give a couple of notices?
Yeah.
Thank you. So first of all, most of you knew Meg behind the bar. She left on a Thursday. So Richard and Robert and I came down and had dinner and brought her a card from the church and some flowers. And she was really touched. So hopefully we will see her again. It turns out she's around the corner from you. So we may see her again. So that's exciting for her going into a new career, but we have missed her smile already this morning. So the other thing is that on Good Friday, as for last year, after the service, we're going to have a coffee, and then we're going down to Torquay, opposite Waterstones, to sing and praise the Lord. And last year, those of you who are there will remember that as the procession came down through town, they invited us to go and lead Amazing Grace for them, which was really an honour. So we're going down to be there for 12 this time. If anyone's free to join us, we can do with some more voices. And also on Easter Sunday, similarly, we'll after the service here, we'll have coffee and then we'll go down again. But the time is more flexible because we're not trying to be there with a procession. So if people are able but a later time, that's fine too. So we just need to know if anybody can join us on either of those. So definitely 12 for Good Friday, but Easter Sunday is flexible. And we're happy to fit in with you on that one, if anyone can join us. I think that was it. Yeah.
Thank you. Right, let's join together in a circle. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ,
and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore.